This was a bad summer for North Atlantic right whales, with 17 deaths in waters off Canada and the U.S. Some of those deaths happened when the whales were struck by ships, but others happened as a result of entanglement when whales become tangled in fishing gear. There are only about 450 of the whales left in the world, and entanglement is now their leading cause of death. What happens to many whales after entanglement has been something of a mystery. Now, stress hormones found in the whale's feces may be providing some clues. A new study in the journal Endangered Species Research that looked at 125 whales over 15 years shows that those who remain tangled in fishing gear for long periods of time, like months or even years, have extremely high levels of stress hormones in their poop. Elizabeth Burgess is a marine biologist at the Anderson Cabot Center for Ocean Life at the New England Aquarium. She says those hormone levels aren't just bad for individual whales. They're bad for the population as a whole.
This study is a result of 15 years of work, and throughout that time we've been able to establish a baseline of what a normal, healthy whale looks like and what that profile for cortisol, the stress response, comes out as in the feces. So what we're doing is kind of like using feces instead of blood, because blood is very difficult to collect from the whales. So we're getting an indicator of the internal health of the whale. So while whales can occasionally be seen entangled, and we know that there's physical damage, by having a look at the stress profile in the feces, what we're getting at is what's happening inside the body, so a whole animal response. And what we're seeing with entangled whales that are chronically entangled for, you know, on average 6 months, is we're getting sky high levels of cortisol as a stress response. And these are orders of magnitude, so they're not minor elevations. And this is quite different to what we see in a whale that has been struck by a ship. These whales tend to die very quickly, and so the cortisol levels in the feces that we see in those animals actually match to what we see in a normal whale. And that's just because that stress response hasn't had that time to get through to the feces.
Obviously, swimming around for a long time with entangled with fishing gear presents its own dangers, infection and so forth. But the stress it creates also has some fairly profound effects, correct?
Yes, absolutely. So what we're seeing by seeing these sky-high hormone levels is that these animals are suffering terribly. So it's not just the external physical trauma that we can see visibly or when we see a dead whale wash ashore, but there is a very strong internal response, and it really speaks to the welfare of these animals.
And do these high stress hormone levels have effects on things like, say, breeding?
Yeah, absolutely. So a heavily mounted stress response is going to impact body condition and energy reserves of these animals. So we start to see emaciations in the population. And then further down the track, it really affects reproduction. And so for females, they tend to breed less. And so that then is going to further impact the population, because if we're not getting new calves into the population, then we're not going to see that population growth. And so this year we've had 17 deaths of North Atlantic right whales and only 5 calves born. So these heavy impacts on the population is really not sustainable.
North Atlantic right whales have been protected for more than 40 years, but unlike some other large whale species, they've not really bounced back. Why is that?
These whales travel along the entire eastern seaboard, and so they really are in very urban habitats. And so management for this species, they have quite a high interaction with human impacts, so shipping and entanglements. And so this year in particular, entanglements has been quite a big issue, because what we've seen is a shift in their distribution. And so with warming waters in the Gulf of Maine has actually had an unprecedented increase in temperature, in water temperature. And so what's happening is that that's affected the food source of this whale. And so the whales are moving further north and potentially further offshore. And so they're encountering new areas which previously may not have had strong management management protocols in place. So that's why we think we're seeing quite high incidences of entanglements this year.
Just for reference, how few whales do you get down to before the population becomes not viable?
So that's a really great question. And we don't really know, but currently at less than 450 and with a projected trajectory of decline, we're really getting into very scary territory of losing this species. So some modelling papers are predicting that we probably have 20 years left at this current rate of decline. So we really are in a very dire situation.
What does your research suggest in terms of steps to protect the whales, and how confident are you that those will be taken?
So this study is really important because it raises awareness of the suffering that these animals are going through, but it also helps us establish information about what we can expect to see in this population. So from the information that we've gleaned from this study, we're getting very important information about these sort of very chronic levels of stress in a right whale. And so we can use this information to help monitor those living whales and try and highlight early warning signs of impacts in the population before we start to see these mortalities. And so if we're able to get an early warning sign of seeing a strong stress response throughout across the population, then we can use that to really engage a management practice or a management change. And so at the moment, what we're doing is we're really engaging with the fishing gear. We're having open conversations about some solutions that we can come up with so that we can continue fishing, but that we're not entangling right whales and we're not in further endangering the population. And so these are ongoing discussions, both at the government level and with industry and the fishermen that are out there.